Turn with me to our scripture reading for this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 10. Then we'll read right on through to chapter 4, verse 5. Page 1855 in your pew Bible, as we continue on in our series on Christians in the world. And then a reminder as well, an invitation for tonight. Tonight I begin a series on the last days. I was going to start this series maybe in the month of November, but just looking over the schedule and everything else, I thought, hey, we'll start tonight. What? No problem with that. So we introduce a series on the last days. What is the last days about, and what are the events of the last days? That's what we'll talk about starting tonight. I'll invite you for that. I'll read the passage for this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 to 4, verse 5. And then I'll say, this is the word of the Lord, and the congregation responds together saying, thanks be to God. Paul's charge to Timothy. Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Timothy, and also therefore to us, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured? Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're moving right along in our series, Christians in the World. We noted that Christians are called to be in the world. We are called to engage every area of life, and so we will engage in business, we will do our shopping tomorrow and everything else. Tomorrow we will vote, because that's our civic responsibility, that's our civic duty. We must be in the world because it belongs to him, right? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, for everything God created is good. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. We're called to be in the world, but we must not be of it. We must not buy into the sinful mentality of the kingdom of darkness, which misdirects God's good creation order. And we said that one of the ways we get this right, one of the ways we can be in but not of the world, is to see ourselves as aliens and strangers. We have to see ourselves as different. On the one hand, we totally belong here. This is my Father's world. But on the other hand, we will never fit just right. That's because we worship a different God. We follow different patterns of behavior. Aliens and strangers. That's who we are, and that's who we have to be. This is how we need to see ourselves. This is how we need to behave. We are aliens and strangers. Now, here's a question then. What's got to shape us then? What's got to frame? What's got to color? What determines what an alien and a stranger looks like? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. What determines who we are is Scripture. Scripture has to shape us. It has to shape our thinking and our patterns, the way we live. So a comment then, again, about Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, that the first text I preached on in this series, I noted that in Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, Paul offers a negative and a positive. Remember? Negatively, Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Don't conform to unbiblical patterns. Stop the sinful patterns. That's the negative requirement. Positively, what must we do? Paul says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What we need is a new mind. We need a transformed mind that creates new patterns. That's the positive. And that's what we need to focus on as well. So allow me to stress that we need transformed minds that create new patterns for how to live. You understand that you really can't have the one without the other, right? A transformed mind, recreated by the power of the Holy Spirit, it creates new patterns for living. And those patterns of living, they also in turn help shape the transformed mind. There's a symbiotic relationship there. Right thinking creates right living, and right living also helps shape right thinking, right? These things need to work together. But either way, what shapes it all? It's Scripture. Scripture is the foundation. Scripture, wielded by the Holy Spirit, is what turns us into aliens and strangers in the world. And so Scripture is very important in all of this. Here is where it starts. Thus, title for today's sermon, Grounded in the Word. Here's my plan for this morning. This morning I plan to make my way through our Scripture reading for today. I will note the different parts and different teachings of the Apostle Paul, and as I go along, I will note how this passage impacts our lives, both our thinking and our patterns. So allow me to start from the top. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Next slide, Martin. Paul begins there saying, Timothy, you know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. This is just background information here. Paul endured a lot of stuff, a lot of suffering, and Timothy knows all about that. Yep, Paul suffered a lot for Christ. Which gets me to verse 12, the next slide, please. Note what Paul says there. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Let me stop there just for a second. That is noteworthy. What's Paul saying here? He's saying, if you're anything of a Christian, If you're anything of an alien and a stranger in this world, you are going to be persecuted. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Congregation, did you know that? We need to think about this. As aliens and strangers in this world, we are going to be persecuted. In some way, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And if it never happens, we need to ask ourselves, how come? Why not? Don't people see how different we really are? Or aren't we different? Look how Paul continues. Paul says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. As the world continues to go this way into the darkness of sin, they'll notice that we're not coming along with them. We're staying over there. And many won't like that. What's wrong with you? They'll say. We know what's wrong with us. We are aliens and strangers. We are aliens and strangers, and that's because what shapes us is the Word of God. Next slide. Paul says in the very next verse, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy has been shaped by the Scriptures. From his infancy, no less, he's been shaped and patterned by it for a long time. Scripture is crucial for the Apostle Paul here. It's what we need to be grounded in as well. Paul, he then moves on to talk about Scripture in verse 16. So let's do that. Next slide, if you will. Paul says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's look at this text a little closer. All Scripture is God-breathed, says the Apostle Paul. God breathed it out, as it were. I think of the creation story. How did God create the world? By His Word. He breathed out some words, and it came to be. Genesis 1 verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and all of a sudden there is light. Psalm 33 verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. That's how God made the world, and that's how He gave us the Scriptures as well. He breathed it out, as it were. Now, of course, people were involved in the writing of Scripture, but God breathed on them exactly what needed to be written down. And so all Scripture is God-breathed, says the apostle, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. It's useful for teaching, says the apostle. It's through Scripture that we learn about God, who He is, and who we are, and what He has done for us, and where everything is going. Everything spiritual, every spiritual thing we need to know is right there in the Scripture. Scripture is useful for this. It's useful for teaching. Okay, Scripture doesn't tell us how to do an oil change. obviously. But it does tell us how even an oil change can be used for God's glory and for my neighbor's good. All scripture, says the apostle, is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking. Would you look at that? Scripture is useful for this. Sometimes we need to be warned. Sometimes we need to be told off. Absolutely we do. When we're living in sin and it's getting us into real big mess, someone, something has to tell us off. Well, Scripture does that. Scripture is useful for this. Scripture is also useful, says the apostle, for correcting. It's useful to put us on the right track again. I think of repentance. What does repentance mean? Literally, it means to turn around. We go the other way. Scripture is helpful for this. We need to be corrected. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Congregation, what is righteousness? Righteousness is having a right relationship with God and a right relationship with God's law. We're connected to God and we live out His precepts in everyday life. That's righteousness. Christ declares us righteous by grace through faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit. He helps put all of this into practice. And the tool the Holy Spirit uses is Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen to that. Good works, that's the goal. Good works in service of the kingdom with transformed minds and transformed patterns so that there's some kind of shalom in this world, so that God is glorified. Hallelujah, amen. Scripture is useful for all of this. Scripture is excellent for this. This is what the scriptures are for. And so, we need to engage Scripture. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to get our heads and our hearts into it. Are you doing that? Are you engaging the Scriptures? You know, there are different ways we can do this, and you probably know them all. We could start with your personal devotions. We have to read our Bible in some kind of regular fashion. Talk about a pattern. We need to read our Bible in some kind of regular pattern every day. A chapter or two, maybe 10 to 15 minutes every day, just reading Scripture, offering prayer. That's a good practice. That's a good pattern. Ken Tickler, on New Year's Day, he challenged us as the head of council at the time to read through the New Testament in the year 2019. Absolutely fantastic idea. Have you taken up the challenge? Personal devotions are so absolutely important. You know, Christians are wondering why the church in our culture is in such decline. My opinion? It starts right here. People are not reading their Bibles. Congregation, we need to do our personal devotions. This is where it starts. We need to do personal devotions. We need to do family devotions, which means we need to be together. We need to eat together as families on occasion, if for no other reason than to pray together, read Scripture together, talk about it, and engage it. I hope to address this whole topic a lot more next Sunday. We need to do personal devotions. We need to do family devotions. We need to support Christian schools where God's word gets applied to all the different areas of life. And of course, we don't stop there. We need to go to Bible study, coffee break, Alpha. And our youth have to go to catechism. Congregation, we got to keep this one a priority too. I know far too many churches, even Christian Reformed churches, where there is no formal education of Scripture for the youth. We cannot expect to retain our youth if we don't pull them together and teach them the Scriptures. Now, all of these different things that I've just mentioned, they all need to work together. In fact, they all kind of connect with each other, and they actually support one another. You can't just have catechism, for example, and then ignore all the other ways of engaging Scripture. Catechism is where we talk about the basic doctrines and the larger themes, you know, that hold the Bible together. Very important. But all these themes and doctrines that we talk about in catechism, they make very little sense if we are not engaging the Scriptures in our homes. And if we're not engaging the Scriptures in our own personal devotions, all these things have to kind of work together. And so we need to do personal devotions, family devotions, we need to engage Christian education, Bible studies, Alpha, catechism, because all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And last, but by no means least, we have to go to church a lot. You know, talk about biblical patterns. I find it interesting that at creation already, God designed the pattern of one day in seven. For 6 days, we do our work and everything else. And then there's that one day in seven, where we focus on God as a community and we engage His Word. Actually, all the other means to engage Scripture, they depend on this one. When we don't gather for church to engage His Word one day in seven, all the other ways of engaging Scripture begin to suffer. Indeed, they collapse. We need to go to church. We need to go to church and engage the Scriptures together. This is the purpose. This is the purpose for Sunday. So notice then, Sunday is not family day. It's not. We hear that a lot these days. It's not family day. You would be very hard-pressed to find one text in the entire Bible that says that Sunday is family day, or it's my day, or some other day. It's not. I'm not saying that it's bad to enjoy family on Sunday. It's great to do that. But that's not the purpose for Sunday. Sunday is not family day. It's the Lord's day. It's on Sunday that we rest so that we can be with the Lord and His people. The groom gathers with his bride. We focus on him, we praise him for his grace, and the Lord engages us through his word. People wonder why the church is in decline in our culture. This is the reason. People don't go to church on Sundays. They don't make Sunday the Lord's day. They don't make Sunday the word day. We don't gather to hear the preaching of the word. Which gets me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, the next section in our scripture reading. Very interesting what Paul does there. In chapter 3, Paul talks about how great scripture is. is able to make you wise unto salvation, all because it's God-breathed and therefore useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness. And then what does Paul do? He gets at what Timothy's most important task is now when it comes to the Scripture. Look at it. Next slide, please. Paul says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who would judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. What does Paul want Timothy to do? He's got to preach the word. Preaching is kind of like this, the amplifier for Scripture. It's what makes the Scriptures get out there. It's kind of like the loudspeaker. Hear me, it's not enough just to read the Scriptures and to study it. No, it's got to be proclaimed. It's got to get out there. And who's the preaching for? It's for the church, first of all. So the church can be built up. So the church knows the Scriptures. Some think that the preaching is for the unbeliever. Well, it's technically for them too, but most unbelievers are not really excited about being preached to, right? Ever tried that? Tried to preach to your neighbor? We don't preach to our neighbors. We share the gospel with them. We talk about the gospel. We have a relationship with them. Unbelievers don't enjoy preaching, but believers should. It's able to make the church wise unto salvation. It's useful for our teaching, for our rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Notice the intro to Paul's charge to Timothy, the opening line up on the screen there. Very weighty words here. Look at it. Paul uses the imagery of a divine courtroom, as it were. There is Timothy standing before God in his holy courtroom and before Christ. His future is at stake. Indeed, the world's future is at stake. Paul says to him, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. You're standing before God now, Timothy. You're standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. And in view of his appearing, continues Paul, in view of the fact that Christ is coming back as the judge of the living and the dead, and in view of his kingdom, adds Paul, in view of the fact that his kingdom is coming in all of its perfection, the new heavens and the new earth, they're coming. In view of all of that, we need to be ready for this. And so Paul says, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season, out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And so it's so absolutely crucial that as a community, as a church community, we engage this important means of grace. Congregation, aliens and strangers, that's who we are. Aliens and strangers in the world, formed, shaped, grounded in the Word of God. The Word is so absolutely crucial for us. It's so important that Paul wants it preached to us. It's got to get out there so that it can penetrate right there. And why? Why does Paul want the word preached so pointedly? Well, that gets us to the very next set of verses, verses 3 and 4. Let's look at them. Next slide, if you will. Says the apostle, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Now, would you look at that? It's almost as if the Apostle Paul was speaking directly to our culture right now. This is us. This is our world today. We have turned away from sound doctrine. We're nothing but itching ears in our culture. We have turned aside to myths. All kinds of crazy myths out there. Myths about sexuality. We can do and we can practice whatever we please now. We can hook up with anyone that we want, anytime. That's our culture. It's okay. We can sever sex from any kind of commitment and or relationship. And we think there are no repercussions. Myth. That's what that is. We have myths about sexuality. We have all kinds of myths about what we think makes us happy, be it pleasure or material wealth or alcohol. Now it's cannabis, whatever. Lots of myths out there, and yet we've never been so anxious as a culture, don't you think? There's so much anxiety in the air. There is so much loneliness in our culture. It's all because we don't know God. We don't know the patterns of His Word. So who are we again? We are aliens and strangers in the world. We are aliens and strangers grounded in the Word of God, which means we have something to offer. We're a salt. We're a light in the world. We have the gospel. We have the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us. Conclusion, last slide. And so, congregation, we need to engage God's Word. We do our personal devotions. We do our family devotions, our Bible studies. We go to church. We observe the Lord's Day. We go to church. Just like we're doing right now. Right now. This is good. This is good. This is a good pattern. You know, it's noteworthy that we worship today. You recall that in the Old Testament, the day of rest and worship was actually on a Saturday, right? God rested on the seventh day, right? Which is a Saturday. Today in the New Testament, we gather now on the first day of the week, a Sunday. Why do we do that again? Because Sunday is the Lord's Day. It was on a Sunday that the Lord rose again from the dead. It was on a Sunday that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. And so today, on the Lord's Day, when we engage God's Word together, God the Holy Spirit, He works through the preaching of the Word to transform our minds so that for the next 6 days of the week, we enjoy new transformed patterns and thus begin the new creation. It's starting right now. Creation, it starts all over again, beginning with day one, the Lord's Day. So this then is our calling. Let's engage God's Word. Let's be grounded in it, especially so that we may know Him who's the heart of everything, the Lord Jesus Christ. We engage Scripture so that we might know Him. Hear, hear. We preach Him. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. In the world, but not of it. In the world, as aliens and strangers, grounded in the Word of God, praising the name of Jesus Christ who did it all. He washes away all of our sins by His grace. He nourishes us unto eternal life. Praise His name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Where would we be without the Scriptures? We would be utterly lost in the dark. But You did not leave us alone. You gave us Your only begotten Son, and on top of that, You poured out Your Holy Spirit, and You gave us the inspired Word of God, breathed out so that we may know You, we may know better ourselves, and so that we may know how to walk, so that our minds may be transformed, and so our patterns as well, as we live as aliens and strangers in the world. Father, we thank You for the preaching of the Word, this primary means of grace that You give to Your church on this Lord's Day. We pray, Father, that we may set aside this day exactly for this purpose, to engage the Word, to hear You speak to us about Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we thank You for the sacrament of baptism, which reminds us of Christ washing away of our sins. And we thank You, Father, for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, so that we may be nourished in Your Word even more, so that we may glorify Jesus Christ. Father, prepare our hearts for this sacrament, so that we hear the message of the Word, that as we eat and drink, we are nourished by Your grace. Bless us to that end, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.